The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
WQAD Podcast Network.
The Cities with Jim Mertens, a production of WQPT, PBS for the Quad Cities region, a podcast in partnership with WQAD. What's going on in the Quad Cities? Activities, events, fun, politics, sports, local issues and opinions. And now, your host, Jim Mertens.
I'm Jim Mertens, and this is the City's podcast. Welcome to spring. We just got through a long and sometimes cold and wet winter. What it looks like right now, and what are some of the long-term trends we're seeing with our weather and our climate? We talked with the Illinois State climatologist, Dr. Trent Ford, about our spring ahead and what we may see after that. Dr. Ford, thanks for joining us. You know, was it a tough winter, and does that have any, I don't know, harbinger of what our spring's going to be like?
You know, it was an odd winter overall. You know, I think for the Quad Cities, for most of the state of Illinois, it was a winter when you take the whole thing from, you know, the start of the snow season in October all the way through where, you know, knock on wood, we're not all the way through, you know, the snow season yet, but especially for climatological winter, December through February, it averaged out to be pretty average winter, but December was extremely warm. You know, January and February were a bit cooler, got a lot of snow here in central Illinois. You all missed out a little bit more in the Quad Cities, but still got closer to normal in February. So overall, kind of an average winter. What we've seen from spring, and really there's not necessarily a great relationship between how strong your winter is or how weak your winter is and what your spring is going to be like. What we've seen from spring so far is a lot of variability, and that's pretty normal for March. You know, highs in the 70s and lows in the single digits, and back and forth. And what we're seeing from the outlooks, at least for the month of April as a whole, and then like the 3 month period between April, May, and June, kind of that the transition between spring and what we'd consider summer, is elevated chances of above normal temperatures and above normal precipitation for the Quad Cities area, as well as for most of the state of Illinois. So been pretty variable. You know, that transition between winter and spring, it can catch a lot of folks by surprise. First time you feel 70 degrees, it's like, oh, right, this is what this feels like. It's fantastic. But then the cold comes back. But of course, as we move towards April and especially into May, you know, the colder air becomes warmer and warmer. So I do expect us to get a little bit more mild conditions as we move farther into spring.
Well, and as you know, parts of Illinois and large parts of Iowa as well have been facing various levels of drought conditions. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's vastly improved in the northern part of Illinois. Southern part of Illinois still is facing that. I mean, that's still going to be a concern for farmers. I mean, we're walking outside, we're getting mud on our feet, and we have a problem believing that we have a drought.
Yeah, I know. This is a tough winter and spring are tough to communicate and understand drought. First and foremost, when we're talking about agriculture, actually a little bit of dry soil in the spring can be a benefit because it can expedite field work, make for less conditions that can make for, you know, things like compacted soils, issues with getting equipment in, things like that. So actually drier soils, especially that top layer soil, can actually make things go a little smoother during the planting season. The problem is that if the dry soil sticks around the summertime when the heat sets in, that can create issues with the crop. So I kind of battle back and forth to say, yes, the rain we're getting, it's delaying you getting in the field early, but it also is going to be a saving grace down the road. So, you know, we take a little bit to even if it creates a little bit of delay. You know, yeah, the last couple of weeks have been greatly beneficial to getting rid or at least improving drought conditions in northern Illinois, especially. Really all across the I-80 corridor, most places picked up anywhere between 2 and 3 inches over the last 10 days. And that fell on entirely thawed soils. So it didn't just run off those frozen soils and go into the streams and out of the area. It soaked into the soils. I'm hearing a lot of folks, like you just said, with muddy topsoils. The big thing though is that drought doesn't end with one rain event, at least in most cases. And this is not an exception because prolonged periods of drought not only affect your topsoil, maybe your top 12 or 18 inches of soil, but they can penetrate down into your deeper layer soil, your groundwater, which is something we saw in Northern Illinois from last year. And so although the topsoil is wet, that moisture is ideally going to drain down to the deeper layer soil to recharge that and some of our shallow groundwater. That's actually got two advantages. One, we get that water in the ground, in the deeper layer soil where it needs to be when plants need it. Second of all, though, the drier, deeper layer of soil is going to allow that water that's creating the mud that you're stepping in right now to drain down faster. And so your topsoil dries out faster when your deeper layer of soil is drier, which what you have right now in Northern Illinois. So honestly, the right now, the outlook is much better than if it was just 2 to 3 weeks ago that things have improved. Now, we're not out of drought necessarily for a large part of Northern Illinois, but we're moving in the right direction for sure.
We're coming out of a La Nina winter, are we not? I mean, how long does this last? And did it actually occur the way you thought it was?
No. So we're in the second actually straight coming out of the second straight winter of La Nina. It's called the double dip La Nina, which is not unprecedented. They do tend to happen where we get 2 years in a row. What's interesting about this year is that it's sort of this winter sort of shaped up like a La Nina winter for the broader perspective. La Nina winters tend to be very wet in the Ohio Valley. So we're thinking like Southern Illinois all the way up to parts of Northern Kentucky. That was the case. It was very wet. They tend to be dry in the plains. Definitely the case. You know, parts of Eastern Nebraska got less than half an inch of total precipitation for the winter. So that was definitely the case. And then somewhere in between, let's say Lexington, Kentucky and Omaha, Nebraska, it's kind of throw your hands in the air. Who's going to be dry? Who's going to be wet? In this case, that line really played out between, let's say, Peoria and the Quad Cities, where the Peoria area got quite a bit of snow, decent amount of precipitation. The Quad Cities were left a little bit drier this winter. And so in that sense, the La Nina winter did play out the way that we kind of typically expect it to. Of course, year-to-year variability is really important. Not every La Nina year looks like every other year. What's interesting this year, though, is that we're still in La Nina. Often we talk about the El Nino Southern Oscillation, which is El Nino. It's cousin La Nina. You know, and we talk about that as a winter phenomenon. You know, it's happening, but it's most relevant to the Midwest climate in the wintertime. In fact, this year, we're still in La Nina. It's persisting. And the latest outlooks from NOAA show or suggest that we are likely to be in La Nina at least into summertime, if not through summertime, which is fairly rare. Now, the effects of La Nina on our climate do dwindle as we move towards the summertime, but they can still be there in persistence in the atmosphere. And that, again, can lead us into a bit of a drier outlook for areas farther to our west. Western Iowa, eastern Nebraska, their outlook is pretty dry for the spring and summertime. So that's kind of, we're still dealing with the remnants of La Nina. It's still here, although, again, it plays less of a role in our climate than it would have in wintertime.
And I want to talk about climate change in particular. And one of the things that, as you were mentioning, the amount of rainfall that you get and when you get it are both two critical calculations to how good our soil does. But farmers are facing a couple things that maybe they didn't always face. Microbursts of rain and also very strong sudden winds as well, which, of course, you know, affecting the corn crops. Is that a sign of a changing climate or is that just weather?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we have seen an increase in total precipitation every single season and year over year. We've also seen an increase in very intense precipitation, which is what you're talking about there. Kind of, you know, getting, let's say, the same amount of precipitation in a month, but it's coming in fewer events with more bursts of rainfall. And that creates all sorts of problems with inundation and flooding when you first get that rainfall. But then also a lot of that runs off, which means that it's not there in your soil to use during a dry spell that comes after that. So that is a problem. And that is one, at least, you know, year-to-year variability does play a really important role in that, but there is a consistent signal over the historical period of an influence of climate change on our precipitation intensity. Now, when it comes to strong winds and other severe weather, they are incredibly destructive to infrastructure and agriculture. There hasn't been necessarily a really well-defined signal, climate change signal in severe wind events. Mostly that's because they're very hard to observe over the large scale, let alone keep a consistent record of. And that makes it even harder to attribute any sort of apparent trend in those wind events to climate change, and especially to anthropogenic climate change, the human effects on our climate. And so it's a lot harder to do that than for things like drought or wildfire or, for example, extreme precipitation, like I just mentioned. So that makes it a little bit harder to do that. I will say that when we run the climate projections to end of the century and beyond, there's not a situation where we don't see a continuation of this sort of frequency of severe wind events that we've seen over the last 30 to 50 years. And so there may not necessarily be a great signal right now that we can pick out to say, yes, climate change is causing any sort of increase or change in these severe wind events. But I am confident in saying that this is going to be the strong winds, destructive winds, or something that we're going to be dealing with now and into the future, irrespective of climate change.
Well, and with climate change, also, we're seeing a longer growing season, which I think most people would sit back and go, well, what would be wrong with that? That's great. But as you well know, I mean, then you get more insects, insects that aren't necessarily native here are moving further north. What is the real impact of a longer growing season?
Yeah, so the longer growing season can be beneficial. The growing season lengthening means that our last spring freeze is moving earlier into spring. So planting dates can theoretically move up. Some of those longer term, longer maturity hybrids of corn, soybeans, other plants can be planted. And the last fall freeze actually pushes back. At the same time, our kind of shoulder seasons of spring and fall are getting warmer overall. And so we can actually accumulate growing degree days or growing degree units that can help push, a corn crop to maturity later into the season, which is something that we've seen in recent years, like 2019, when we had problems with delayed planting. The problem is it's not just corn and beans that like a longer growing season. Overall, warmer and wetter Illinois, lots of what we consider weeds or invasive non-native species of plants, and as you mentioned, animals, like bugs, also enjoy a warmer and wetter Illinois. And so overall, what we've seen in the past couple decades, and what are projected are, with a longer growing season, among other things, changes in precipitation, a warmer winter plays a big factor in this. It just means more challenges from pest management standpoint. So, in agriculture, we deal with integrated pest management. That's weeds, it's pests like insects, it's diseases. All of the management of those things becomes more challenging and more pressing as the climate continues to change. One example of that we saw from last year, I've spent almost my entire life in Central Illinois. I don't remember seeing as many crop dusters in the air as for as long a period of time as I did last year. And part of that was just fighting fungal disease because it was so wet, so consistently wet here in Central Illinois for so long that humidity played a role in that as well, that everybody was having to spray early, spray often with their fungicides. And of course, it's another added cost to trying to get the best yield you can. And so those sorts of challenges are very likely to continue, if not accelerate, into the future with changes in both growing season and our winters.
Well, as you well know, we're entering the tornado season as well right now. And Tornado Alley is moving a little bit to the east, it appears, which, of course, would endanger more of Illinois. Then you think of the last, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think of the last big tornado in Illinois being in Washington by Peoria. That was like December near Christmas, which had a lot of people going, oh, yeah, they're right, it can happen in any month. Can you make any prediction about a tornado season for Illinois and Iowa right now, or have we been inordinately lucky other than the poor folks in Washington?
Well, honestly, the first thing I start with when talking about severe weather, especially the